So we've got these noble truths, four noble truths about the truth of dukkha. So this was actually the first Dhamma talk that the Buddha ever gave. And the first noble truth is there is dukkha. Dukkha is part of human experience. It is unavoidable and inevitable. Yeah, so first noble truth, there is dukkha. It's unavoidable. But we don't know that. So clearly, based on our behaviour, a lot of the time, we don't have insight into that truth. And we're in denial about dukkha. And we are constantly thinking, if we just sort of tweak things enough, then it can be okay, if only we do this or that. Sometimes I thought this is a bit like a mixing desk. Sometimes when I've been doing dance workshops, I'm using a very simple sort of mixing desk, and you've got all these dials to kind of control the output, the master output. So there's the kind of the volume of the different channels, and then there's the microphone volume, and then there's the bass or whatever. Anyway, lots of different aspects of the sound, and you're sort of trying to get the right output. And I think it can be like that when we're tussling with dukkha. We think if we just do twiddle this knob over here or this one over here, then it's going to be all right. We can sort of fix things. We can get reality to be neat and tidy and satisfactory. And if only we try hard enough. So there's this sort of feeling that it ought to be perfect. And that includes that we ought to be perfect. And Jujika brought that out really well. That we ought to be like this kind of perfect EU vegetable. And it's only really been quite recently that I've sort of really thought about how dukkha includes me somehow. You know, I've tended to think it's out there, but it's like it's us. We are not going to be perfect because we're in dependence on conditions. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to not understand things. We're going to hurt other people. We're going to hurt ourselves. We're going to miscommunicate. All of that is going to happen. And that's just in the nature of things. Because whatever our good intentions, we actually can't control it all. So in this idea that, you know, we should be perfect, or that kind of denial of conditionality, we either sort of take too much responsibility for our experience, or we blame others, so we're giving them too much responsibility. Rather than saying, yep, I did this, but also there were many other conditions coming into play. You know, including my own past actions, which now I can't actually do anything about those. I can take responsibility for the present moment, but some of the conditions that are giving rise to what I'm experiencing now, you know, they're from the past. So it's really interesting that I think there are quite a lot of sort of psychological approaches or spiritual paths that have a lot going for them in terms of tools for becoming more happy and whole as humans. But sometimes there's the recognition of dukkha is missing. So when I was in my 20s, I did a really great sort of New Age personal growth course, which was very, very intense, very, very challenging, and really, really brilliantly facilitated, and a lot of kindness and skill, and it really was very helpful and gave me a much more positive sense of myself. It was transformational, really. But there was something really that only later on I could see just didn't do it for me, in that there was this idea that if only you tried hard enough, you know, you could be squeaky, perfectly clean, like these facilitators who were, it was an American, and it was, they would wear very smart clothes and have very white teeth, and it was almost like, and ecologically it was a bit bonkers, because there was this kind of real sort of, we can all have what we want, you know, if we want a Mercedes, if we want a sports car, if we want to be really rich, we can do that, we can have that. It's like, the planet can't cope with that, not everybody having that. You know, there are limits to growth, so I just felt that there was something missing there. And also, it ended up, because the idea was you can have whatever you want, everything, you know, you're in control, and if you didn't, if you suffered, it was almost like it was your fault. Oh, it was, you weren't doing it, you weren't quite doing it right, or you weren't working hard enough, or so. And I think sometimes we get that, even with a Dharma, we can have that. that sort of denial of dukkha can sort of creep in a subtle way, and we can think that we've been practicing and therefore we should be X, Y, Z and the other, and much more perfect, and then we're not, and then we blame ourselves, and it's just another form of that denial of dukkha. So I think there are quite a number of sort of subtle spiritual versions of denying dukkha, and I wanted to just try and pinpoint a few. So I think there's that it's meant to be. So something happens that you don't want, and then it's like, oh, well, it was meant to be. And I think that can be a bit dodgy sometimes. I think sometimes it's coming more from like, oh, I don't really want to go there and acknowledge that that's happened, so I'm just going to say it's meant to be. It's meant to be. Well, according to who is it meant to be? Buddhism doesn't really have that sort of idea that there's some pre-existing pattern that, you know, was meant to be. So then there's, I'm going to open up to this painful experience in order to make it go away. So, you know, you're like, okay, I'm opening, I'm turning towards this experience. But actually underneath it, you just want to go away. And it doesn't work when you do that, because basically there's still aversion there. And that will still be there in the body. So this turning towards experience, it can be quite subtle, tricky thing. So another one I've noticed, which I know I've done sometimes, is, oh, this thing's happened. Oh, so it's a great opportunity for spiritual growth. So, oh, I've got a parking fine. Oh, it's a wonderful opportunity for spiritual growth. It might be, but it's kind of like you have to go there with what you're actually experiencing. So if you're saying, oh, this is a great opportunity for spiritual growth, and actually your stomach is clenched and your jaw is clenched, probably tells you that actually you're annoyed and you're not quite there yet with thinking, I can be equanimous about this, I can let it go. So if it's going to be a great opportunity for spiritual growth, you've got to start with actually where you are and turn towards where you actually are, actually own our real experience. So this kind of thing of having an ideal and sort of bypassing where we actually are at, I think the body is such a great tool in that, because the body will always speak the truth. So in that way, you know, if we stay in body awareness, then we can really know what's going on, whereas the mind can sort of play those kind of tricks, but the body is more straightforward.